Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Garuda Narayan. Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being. Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Srila Prabhupada, translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nasta Prayasvabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavadina Ishtikri. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service under the pure devotee of the Lord, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed to nil. And thus transcendental loving service under the personality of Godhead is established as an irrevocable fact. So continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, beginning a new chapter. The title of this chapter is The Glories of Lord Ananta. Chapter Summary. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes Ananta, the source of Lord Shiva. Lord Ananta, whose body is completely spiritual, resides at the root of the planet Patala. He always lives in the core of Lord Shiva's heart, and he helps him destroy the universe. Ananta instructs Lord Shiva how to destroy the cosmos, and thus he is sometimes called Tamasi, or one who is in the mode of darkness. He is the original deity of material consciousness, and because he attracts all living entities, he is sometimes known as Sankarshan. The entire material world is situated on the hoods of Lord Sankarshan. From his forehead, he transmits to Lord Shiva the power to destroy this material world. Because Lord Sankarshan is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, many devotees offer him prayers. And in the planetary system of Patala, all the suras, asuras, gandharvas, vidyadharas, and learned sages offer him their respectful obeisances. The Lord talks with them in a sweet voice. His bodily construction is completely spiritual and very, very beautiful. Anyone who hears about him from a proper spiritual master becomes free from all material conceptions of life. The entire material energy is working according to the plans of Anantadev. Therefore, we should regard him as the root cause of the material creation. There is no end to his strength, and no one can fully describe him, even with countless mouths. Therefore, he is called Ananta, unlimited. Being very merciful toward all living entities, he has exhibited his spiritual body. Shukadeva Goswami describes the glories of Anantadeva to Maharaj Parikshit in this way. Text 1. Shri Shuku Uvacha, Tasyamula Deshe Trinshad, Yojana Sahasrantara, Aste Yavaikala, Bhagavat Tamasi, Samakya Tananta, Iti Sat Vatiya, Drastri Drishyayo, Sankarshanamaham, Ityabhimana, Lakshanam, Yam Sankarshanam, Ityachaksate. Word for word. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Tasya of the planet Patala, Mula Deshe, in the region beneath the base, Thringshat, 30, Yojana, 8 mile units of measurement, Sahasra Antare, at an interval of 1,000, Ashte, remains, Ya, which, Vai, indeed, Kala, an expansion of an expansion, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tamasi, related to darkness, Samakyata, called, Ananta, Ananta, Iti, thus, Satvatiya, the devotees, Drastradrisyayo, of matter and spirit, Sankarshanam, the drawing together, Aham, I, Iti, thus, Abhimana, by self-conception, Lakshanam, symptomized, Yam, whom, Sankarshanam, Sankarshana, Iti, thus, Achakshate, learned scholars describe. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, My dear king, approximately 240,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position. But because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamogun, or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks, I am the enjoyer, and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me, this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarshan. Thus, the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There is a class of men akin to Mayavadi philosophers who misinterpret the Aham Brahmasmi and Soham Vedic mantras to mean, I am the Supreme Brahman, and I am identical with the Lord. Jai Shri Shri Rukmini Dvarkanath. There is a class of men akin to Mayavadi philosophers who misinterpret the Aham Brahmasmi and Soham Vedic mantras to mean, I am the Supreme Brahman, and I am identical with the Lord. This kind of false conception in which one thinks himself the Supreme Enjoyer is a kind of illusion. It is described elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 5, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verse 8. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. As explained in the above verse, Lord Sankarshan is a predominating deity of this false conception. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Sankarshan. And when a demon thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord, the Lord keeps him in that darkness. Although such a demoniac living entity is only an insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, he forgets his true position and thinks he is the Supreme Lord. Because this forgetfulness is created by Sankarshan, he is sometimes called Tamasi. The name Tamasi does not indicate that he has a material body. He is always transcendental. But because he is the supersoul of Lord Shiva, who must perform tamasic activities, Sankarshan is sometimes called Tamasi. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, approximately 240,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Shankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamagun, or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks, 'I am the enjoyer, and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me,' this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarshan. Thus, the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord." Om Jnana Tmanandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest, deepest depths of ignorance, but out of His causeless mercy, Eternal Spiritual Master, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajikajaya Ashtatara Sarishi Shimad Shri A.C. Bhaktivananda Swami Shri Prabhupada, is forcing my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. I therefore offer my most humble obeisances unto His lotus feet. How could I ever forget His mercy upon me? So we're starting a new chapter here. The glories of Lord Ananta. There's so many wonderful, variegated chapters in this Bhagavatam, in this section of the Bhagavatam. And the fifth canto, of course, gives us information of so many things, of the structure of the universe. Of course, it starts with the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, then goes up to Rishabhdev's teachings, the story of Maharaj Bharat, and the story of Jad Bharat going eventually in the description of Bhumandala and the structure of the universe, and now and then of course just finishing the subterranean heavenly planets, and now into the glories of Lord Ananta. And this chapter is especially significant because it is describing Lord Shankarshan, or Lord Ananta, who, as his name indicates, is unlimited. And with his unlimited hoods, he is holding up all the universes on top of his various hoods. As explained here, Lord Ananta is situated below, at the root of the lowest planet within the universe, Patala. And he is holding up all the universes on his serpentine heads. And it's explained that those universes, to Lord Anantadev, are situated just like tiny white mustard seeds. If you take a mustard seed out of a bag and hold it in your hand, what is the significance? What is the weight of that mustard seed? And what is the significance of that just one mustard seed? Just to make one sabji to offer to the Lord, how many mustard seeds are there? 20, 30 mustard seeds or more. So mustard seed in itself is so insignificant. And so everything, we live in the world of relativity. And so everything is relative. And it's very beneficial for us to remember how everything is relative within this world. And our conception of life, whatever that may be, our own particular insignificant understanding, is relative among so many things. In fact, our main defect in this world is not that we have imperfect senses, but that we try to understand everything based on the information that our imperfect senses give us. And therefore, this is one of the other defects, that we have this cheating propensity. And so this illusion, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, he begins the purport saying, there is a class of men akin to Mayavadi philosophers who misinterpret the aham brahmasmi and soham Vedic mantras to mean, I am the supreme Brahman and I am identical with the Lord. And this kind of false conception in which one thinks himself the supreme enjoyer is a kind of illusion. And as explained here, Lord Sankarshan is the predominating deity of this false conception. And so everything we can understand, just like Bhagavad Gita tells us, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita, that everything is emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if God is in fact God, then therefore everything must be emanating from Him. In lower religious conceptions, that have insufficient understanding, they lead us to believe that God has some competitor, that there is the devil or some kind of a competitor, because they don't have enough information to give them understanding as to how God is everything. And so therefore, the devotee in all humility surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in every stage of life, for that devotee, he finds an impetus to further his surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the symptom of one who's advancing in Krishna consciousness, as he begins to take everything, even so-called reverses, as the mercy of the Lord, because he sees the hand of the Lord within everything. And he understands that Krishna is behind everything, and that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This an aspect of our philosophy is brought up within the context of the conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and the bull, who, when Maharaj Parikshit was asking the bull, who came before it after standing on only one leg with tears in its eyes, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from the bull, who has done this to you? Who has put you in such a condition? And so a philosophical discussion ensued, in which the philosophical point was brought up that the identifier of the perpetuator of any given condition actually attains the same position as the perpetuator himself, since everything is executed ultimately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee, by nature, he is not critical, or shall we say, not unnecessarily critical, because, you know, criticism in itself is a function of the intelligence. And just like we, through our critical intelligence, we get proper understanding how this material world is not here for our enjoyment. But to become overly critical is not a quality of a devotee, because the devotee sees that everything is being executed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I thought we would just go back for a second. Srila Prabhupada mentions this illusion of which Lord Sankarshan is a predominating deity back in the fifth canto here, fifth verse, text 8. And we can gain, 558. a little deeper understanding here as to the nature of this illusion. And so, chapter 5, verse 8. And the verse is as follows. Pumsastri mituni bhavametam tayor mito hridaya grantim ahu ato grihakshetra sutapta vitayar janashamoho yamaham mameti. Very famous verse. Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation. The attraction between male and female is a basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Purport. Sex serves as a natural attraction between man and woman, and when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridaya Granthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of Varnashram, or simply to get a divorce. Confirmed. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman, and the woman always thinks of the man. Therefore, a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor, unfortunately, identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi, but such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Samhita, it is stated, and I won't read the Sanskrit. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not the cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently, they forget their relationship with Krishna. The Lord is the source of our illusion also. Therefore, this gives us a very incredibly wonderful opportunity, because He is the creator and the source of this illusion. And yet, as we know, He is completely unaffected by this. Therefore, we can approach Him in all humility and pray for His mercy to release us from this illusion. And this is actually the special qualification of the devotee, and this is actually the process for becoming free from illusion. Just like we pray, Oma Gyana Timananda Sya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, that I offer my humble obeisances unto the spiritual master. Why? Because the spiritual master, he can give us the eyes by which we can see. With these physical eyes, we cannot even see reality. We cannot actually really see. Therefore, the emphasis which we give to our vision, it should not be overemphasized. Just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is famous as saying that one should not try to see Krishna. Because after all, how can we actually see Krishna with these eyes? Of course, we can see the form of Krishna manifested in material elements for our business, for our benefit. And because the Lord is pure spirit, and because everything is emanating from Him and in its essence is spirit, therefore Krishna can spiritualize those elements and give us an opportunity to perceive Him through those elements. But He is actually not those elements. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore as we chant before Him in kirtan, as we continue to chant the holy name and become purified. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gradually we realize that this form is not stone. It's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And the proof of that is we are becoming increasingly and increasingly blissful upon looking at the transcendental form of the Lord. Can experience that He is actually reciprocating with us. In any case, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that one should not try to see God, but one should act in such a way that God can see one. And therefore, when one is able to somehow or other please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of our illusion, then one's life becomes perfect as his illusion becomes eradicated. So Ananta, he is very great and he is unlimited. And I just thought real quick, because we're running out of time, I would read a few of Arjuna's prayers to the Lord after he had after the Lord had manifested his universal form, and the impact of that upon Arjuna, we can only imagine. Similarly, you know, the impact of how unlimited Ananta is and how great the Supreme Lord is is a little bit indicated by his verses here. He says, "You are the Supreme Original Personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. You are air, you are the supreme controller, you are fire, you are water, and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisance to you 1,000 times, and again and yet again. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all-pervading, and thus you are everything." So I think we'll stop class here. If anyone has any questions or comments, I can entertain them. Yes. Sachin Anoy Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. You were mentioning about the other religious groups. They see in this material world that there's a competitor to God. So I was just thinking that because they just focus more or less in their teachings about the good of God, the goodness, in the way they understand the good side. And in our scriptures, we mention like there is a dark side, like the front side is explained as one explanation of God, and the dark side, the back side. So sometimes someone might say, so there's actually propagation of evil also. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because even in your scriptures, it's mentioned in there that Ananta Sesha is like assisting, you know, Lord Shiva to perform his words in Tamasi, although he's not.
So God is great, and his greatness is can be understood to a certain extent by Lord Ananta himself. And you know, it is explained in the verse here also that Ananta, also the demons, are worshipping Lord Anantadev. So anyone with any kind of proper understanding, like Srila Prabhupada explains, that religion without philosophy is sentimentalism. And, of course, philosophy without religion is, what does he say? It's mental speculation. And so we have a great scientific and philosophical basis to our Krishna consciousness movement. So, you know, we do not, you know, although we follow, you know, we practice principles to bring us into the higher modes of goodness, the process is transcendental. And the Lord Himself is transcendental. But because He is the source of everything, how can we explain that anything so-called evil exists without reference to God? Because everything is emanating from Him. So, you know, with anything within this material creation, we have to refer to God. Therefore, we base everything we say and our qualification of, you know, the real potency of our Krishna consciousness movement is that we base everything on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Shastra is emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. It is not anything spoken or written down by any mundane creature. And the Guru, he does not speak anything but is not that is not backed up by Shastra, by the Vedas. And the Sadhu is the example of the philosophy in practice. And so these things, this system of checks and balances gives us a perfect philosophy by which even the most so-called unexplainable things within this universe, including so-called evil, can very easily be explained and understood. Yes, Archana Prabhu.
Just like we could use a mundane example of like watching the cartoon, The Roadrunner. Because you know it's a cartoon. When the Roadrunner gets smashed and something falls on his head, you laugh. If you actually saw in life a coyote, even a coyote getting smashed, you'd be a little bit horrified, blood all over the place. But because you know it's a cartoon, you laugh. You get smashed, punched. So from the vantage point of eternity, everything that's going on here, so-called good or bad, is laughable. It's a cartoon. So they're just not, they don't have the right vantage point. And Prabhupada touched on that this morning when we were reading from the seventh canto about everything so-called good, bad. It's just illusion. It's illusion. So don't be, you know, torn, pulled this way or that way by it, because it's just an illusion. So when you can see the cartoon, you don't think this. How can there be a competitor to God? And you don't understand what God is, right? Just from that first statement, there can't be a competitor to God. This person supposedly was cast out of heaven, and then became God's competitor. If you can be cast out, that means there's somebody higher than you. Right there. I mean, so the whole thing, they're just not following it through to its logical conclusion when they make this presentation of a devil or somebody who is God's competitor. Not taking it to its... But when you have that vantage point of eternity, eternality, indestructibility, then everything that's going on here, all the accidents, all the horror, it's just a cartoon.
Very good point. Thank you, Archita Prabhu. Omkar Prabhu.
Well, just also on that point, one has to keep proper perspective. Prabhupada has explained that just like how the government has prison houses, so those individuals that are within the prison house, they don't necessarily appreciate the greatness of the prison and the intelligence of the government to have prisons. Although from those on the outside of the prison, they greatly appreciate it. They see how it works to fulfill the purpose of the government. So in the same way, Krishna has a purpose in arranging for the material world to be created. And even though we may not be able to fully appreciate it, since we're on the inside, we're experiencing the harsh nature of it, the so-called evil nature of it. But we don't have that perspective to see how it fits within the great plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's helpful to, like you said, reference Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra so we can have that vision to see how actually everything that God does is great.
Thank you very much. Anything else? Yes, Fru.
I just wanted to ask, you said when Parikshit Maharaj encountered religion in the form of the bull, and he was just standing with one leg, and Parikshit Maharaj asked him, "Who did this to you?" The way he answered, I don't remember exactly what you said, but can you elaborate a little bit on that?
We don't have much time, but and it's a pretty deep philosophical point. But if you go through the Bhagavatam and find that section, you can read about it. But it basically says that when we, you know, Krishna is known as the cause of all causes. So, you know, we were speaking, actually all the comments here have been talking about, you know, perspective and how everyone understands things according to their own perspective. So, you know, if we're in a situation, something happens to us, we can understand that there's an immediate cause, and yet there's also a remote cause. And, you know, above even the remote cause, ultimately, there's Krishna there as the cause of all causes. So when we understand that ultimately God is the cause of all causes, then we actually bring ourselves out of the picture. And we don't, you know, in terms of you know, our responsibility for our actions, it's seen in a, you know, in a much larger perspective. Anyway, we can discuss more about it, and like I said, in that section of the Bhagavatam is good to check out. Thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.